above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. And Felder scored. Felder scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about rugby league. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. Welcome to our round three preview episode. I'm joined by Daniel Friend, Kieran Gibson, and Chris Waring to name our player of the week, give out our wildcard awards for round two, have a discussion about our impressions of the rule changes and how they're going so far, before hearing from the big E, Owen Gibson, and then giving our one-sentence predictions and bold predictions for round three. The first panelist I want to introduce is Mr. Daniel Friend. Hello, Friendy. Who is your player of the week?
G'day, Bo. Mine was Isaac Tungo, I think he's playing right centre for the Panthers at the moment, and he was outstanding the other night. More than 240 metres, tackle breaks, a try. He was outstanding, so it was him for me.
We also have Mr. Chris Waring. Hello, Chris. Who is your player of the week?
G'day, Bo. Mine is Zach Hosking. Back to the bench this week, but he absolutely tore the Tigers and Fatape to shreds at center. So it was very impressive. I'm surprised he's gone back to the bench though. So yeah, I'll go Zach Hosking.
Yeah, a bit of a stacked edge for them considering they have Hudson Young, Elliot Whitehead coming back. So unlucky for Hosking, but I don't think we've seen the last of him playing good football. And we also have Kieran Gibson, as I mentioned. Hello, Gibbo. Who was your player of the week?
Hey, boys. It's been a small while since I've been on the pod, so I thought I'd just say hello again. Good to be back. But I had Pappenhausen. Hi. I had Pappenhausen. I think he probably wondered himself whether he'd produce this footy again this fast, but the resilience he's shown to get back on the park so quickly and exemplifying some of his best traits, that signature speed that he has, but he also hits a beautiful line and has that low center of gravity and is able to maneuver really well at fast pace on rushing defenders. It's really, really good to watch those luscious locks at full speed.
I love watching him play on the weekend. It was a great game as well. Shout out to Jerome Hughes, by the way. He was on my short list too. He was fantastic. Bunch of really great efforts this weekend. I've given my player of the week to another Panther, to Isaiah Yeo, who played the full 80 in the middle. Made 48 tackles, 139 meters. So much work at first receiver, straightening up the defense, as we know him for, which included creating space on that right edge that Friendy was talking about, where Isaac Tungo had a try and six line breaks. But also had a try assist from a crossfield bomb. So I thought he was well worth a shout out. So player of the week for him. Boys, time for the wildcard awards. Friendy off the back fence, what do you got for us?
My wildcard award is the Old Boy Award, and it goes to Daly Cher Evans, who is just going absolutely outstandingly. He'll go past Cliffy Lyons in a couple of weeks for Manly's highest game holder for them. He'll break the record of Cliffy. He's now gone past Jamie Lyon as their longest serving captain, Daly has, and he's just playing brilliantly. I think he's steering the ship really well. He's the man for a crisis. Unfortunately, he's a Queenslander and he does play for Manly, so I don't like either of those things, but he gets my wild card award because, he's pretty good.
There's been someone that's been getting a lot of attention in the media in the number six jersey for Manly this year because he's been playing good footy, but DCE has been an absolute standout. I'm with you 100%. And I don't think Brooks, Oluquatu, Garrick, all those guys that are playing really good footy, Paseka, I don't think they can without DCE leading the ship around. So
agreed.
How long do you reckon he'll be playing for Queensland for? Another 5 years, 6 years?
Oh, mate, I don't know. He's fit as a fiddle and he understands his game better than I've ever seen with him. I think, he was very raw when he came into grade, won a competition early, had a few knockers for a few years there as well, particularly Queensland fans. But now, they wouldn't trade him for the world, I wouldn't have thought. He's outstanding week in, week out, and he's done it for the last, half a dozen years.
I said it in the group chat. I think he'd be the first Queenslander picked, and I know that he's the captain, but I think he's there on merit apart from that as well. Gibbo, been a while. What's your wildcard award this week?
I don't have a name for it, but it carries on from the Storm theme with Pappenhausen before. I just wanted to highlight how good the resilient strength of mind the Storm showed to patiently, I guess, bide their time and just, yeah, back themselves to win the game at any moment. I thought that was phenomenal and really good to watch. You could tell that the Warriors had most of the momentum, and you could still tell that the Storm were doing their best to soak up that resistance and stay patient. But yeah, it's one thing to try and do that. It's another to actually execute it in the last 3 minutes, score two tries and win the game. So that was pretty awesome.
Phenomenal. I agree. And so does Mick Ennis. It was phenomenal. Chris Waring, with your wildcard award this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go a non-on-field one and commit. It's called the Leave the Journalism to Me award. It's gone to Bulldog Richie, who the sequence of events was not hilarious. It's hilarious, but I don't know how many people actually understand the hilarity of it. But so he writes the article about Benji Marshall. It's like, hey, I'm just asking questions, right? I'm just asking questions. Can he revolutionize coaching? You know, and Benji Marshall responded, well, you know, it's not what I'm setting out to do. In fact, I'm here pretty early, blah, blah, blah. I haven't coached a game yet. I haven't done anything yet. And then the Tigers lose, and then Bulldog writes an article after the loss, being like, look, I was just asking questions, but the West Tigers, they're really worrying about the wrong issues. How about you guys start winning some games? And the sequence of, like, journalism and then just, like, they asked Benji Marshall this at a press conference, and then he accused the West Tigers of being like obsessed by like the media reporter. Like, he got you wrote this, you're creating the dialogue in the media, and then they ask him this, he replies being like, it's not true, and then they lose, and then that's somehow evidence that he was right all along, plus the Tigers are focusing on the wrong issues. It's so patently ridiculous alongside everything else that's the Tigers or ex-Tigers are in the media for. It's just, I don't know. It's funny, but it's also tiring at the same time.
I also had to laugh where Jackson Hastings, I'll bring you in on this, Friendy. You've been calling for a swap with Hastings dropping out from halfback and Cogger coming in. Richie reported that, and he said that Hastings left training. He didn't train with the New South Wales Cup. He was offered to, and he didn't the day that he found out he was being dropped. And then Bulldog wanted to sit there and say, oh, it wasn't a dummy spit, though. It's like, he seems to be digging these holes as a media man. But I do want to pick your brain on that, Friendy, while we're here. Jackson Hastings getting dropped by the Knights. Good call.
Yeah, I think something had to happen there. So, unfortunately, Jackson just doesn't have any urgency at all with the ball. I heard Adam O'Brien speak today saying they needed some energy in their halves, and yeah, Cogger will bring that, which is great. So hopefully he does well. Big opportunity this week playing Melbourne with none of their recognised starting halves. So yeah, we'll see how we go. But I'm fine with Hastings getting the axe.
And as for round 300 of Chris versus News Corp, I feel like Chris, you've taken the points on that one just quietly. My wildcard award this week is the Back to the Future award for bringing back the 80s, and it goes to the Thursday night clash between the Broncos and the Rabbitohs. Had everything you wanted from an 80s game. It had a scrum win against the feed from the Broncos. It had a Phil Blake-style chip and chase and regather try from Broncos winger Dean Mariner, and you had the Rabbitohs playing like absolute shit. It was fantastic. It was like the 80s all over again. I had to check my calendar, make sure it was 2024. So the Back to the Future award for bringing back the 80s goes to the Thursday night clash between the Broncos and the Rabbitohs. Boys, let's get into the main news this week. I wanted to discuss how the rule changes were sitting with each of you, because there have been a few. There was an uptick last year in the trend of short dropouts, much to the chagrin of our co-panelist, Miles Stedman. It's weird calling him a co-panelist. He hasn't been here for about 3 years, but he was not a fan of the short dropout, and he'll be probably even less of one now that they're not being penalized anymore. But there are other rules that have been tweaked and changed. For example, harsher crackdowns on things like the downtown rule, harsher crackdowns on the facials rule, when you chase through a bomb, you have to make sure that you're contesting the bomb. You can't just be like there to put off the catcher. So I wanted to read the room a little bit, Friendy. How do you feel about how the rule changes have been, how they've affected the way the game's being played, and yeah, do you like them?
Not too bad. I think the biggest change is the running on the last, because you don't want to just give a dropout away because they're just going to go short and you're not really guaranteed to get the ball back anymore. So, yeah, I think that's probably been the biggest change in terms of gameplay. I heard someone the other day saying, I think it was, was it Gus? Might have been Gus, talking about some coaches are apparently practicing the, like, you know, the rugby tactic where they lift players off the kickoffs, and that, yeah, so they might try and lift someone like a big Sean Lane or Nelson Asofa Solomona so they can catch the ball from the short kickoffs, which I thought was interesting because I don't want that to come in. Yeah, so, I mean, they haven't been too bad so far. That's what I'll go with.
What about you, Chris? It feels to me like not only are these changes sort of shifting the way the game's played a little bit, but also I'm a little bit frustrated by the inconsistent application of them. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm similar. I like them more in principle than some of the interpretations are more frustrating beyond that. But that's also, you know, just what creates endless, meaningless dialogue all year on, you know, talk panel shows where it's like they get, people just get annoyed by interpretation. I mean, it's just part of it when you've got humans referring. So I used to be, so I'll take as an example the short dropout one. I used to be on a Miles Island. I used to hate it, but now it's not as consequential now when, like, there's not the chance of the penalty. So, like, that's cool. And I like the penalty for the, you know, going to be actually contesting the ball. So we're not setting up some, you know, some like NFL style, like, blocking scheme. It's just, you know, it's just a bit, it's always a bit dicey. You know, some of the early mechanisms and interpretations and how it goes. So very simple. I like it with like an asterisk so far with we'll see how it plays out, because there's no doubt that, you know, after 10 rounds, 12 rounds, coach is going to see a way to manipulate it. Early signs, yes, but we'll wait and see.
So Kieran, how do you feel about the way that the short dropout is now being used almost every single time? I heard a stat that from round one, it was about 30% of the time the team having the drop-off got the ball back. And it, because the vast majority of them are attempting it, that's a lot of the time that the team forced to drop out is having basically no consequence. How do you feel about that and how it affects the fabric of the game?
I don't like it. Obviously, every team is now going to have that, I guess, in their mind that they can just do that and try and do a short dropout with not as much consequence as before. I would like to see it removed, but I'd also like to see a team that that doesn't just follow the same pattern that every other team does with it and tries to, I don't know, innovate something with it.
Speaking of other news that I haven't actually put on the run sheet, but I figured I might just canvass you guys. We haven't mentioned, well, we did mention, Kieran, you did mention the Storm managing to get the win there. The fact that Xavier Coates managed to do what he did. Freddie, can you remember a better effort to win a game?
No, that's fucked up. That was so good. that was just insane, wasn't it? Like, are you serious? Like, I've seen other tries from more dire situations, or I don't know, you know, like that's not a try, that's a miracle, all those sort of things. I mean, Newcastle, John's down the blind side, things like that. But in terms of athleticism, bloody acrobatics, getting the actual ball down, like, well, he was in row five. Insane finish, well done.
Absolutely. Chris, while I've got you, you've been on the record on this podcast a fair bit talking about how Latrell, you're a fan of Latrell, are you not, generally speaking?
Yes, I like Latrell.
How do you feel about his comments the other day after the match and the fact that there has been a bit of a pile on with the media and a bit of a bite back from some of the players and some of the fans being like, oh, well, you know, who cares? It's just a bit of swearing. Like, where do you land at all that?
Yeah, it's been like a developing opinion for mine. So I know we were talking about it the other day in our group chat, and the point Kieran made was that, well, it's like it doesn't really matter, because Kieran's point was like the media treats him, or like all these talking heads are constantly talking about him to extract ratings, and I know he's like a lightning rod for public anger, you know, some legitimate reasons, I think, right? He's a bit of a dirty player, bit hot and cold, those reasons. Obviously, I think there's other weighted reasons in society as well that he's a lightning rod. Some people don't like that he speaks about Aboriginal issues in, you know, and so on, right, given, you know, the voice referendum and everything else, the national anthem, et cetera. So it's difficult. It's like a difficult situation to mix. If you're a South Sydney fan, I totally get it at this point. I heard a stat the other day. I might be wrong, but it's around the ballpark. I think they've won, I think, 4 of their last 18 or something like that, which is completely ridiculous for a squad as good as that is, even injuries and whatnot considered. So I think that there is definitely a realm there where I think people should be criticising. And, look, I don't think anyone's, like, really, like, smashed their monocle, maybe apart from Miles, about Latrell Mitchell listening to or swearing on Triple M, although he's probably listening to ABC Classic anyway at 10 p.m. So
Richard Glover.
Yeah, I think people are just using that as, like, a frustration, either with one of South being crap,
yeah,
2, Latrell Mitchell not playing up to his standard, or 3, they just hate Latrell Mitchell, you know, for whatever reasons. Some might be okay, some are obviously wrong, right? So it's hard to, and I think people, that's why it's a hard thing to talk about, because people are worried about, you know, going to, you know, there's obviously a reason to critique him, but you don't want to associate with people who are, like, you know, who have supercars on Facebook and they have a shared wife of their account with their wife because they cheated on them and they talk about wokeism all day. So
shared wife.
Yeah. I mean, shared Facebook, shared wife. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a hard one to go into. It's not a complicated issue, but it's complicated to, like, talk about. But the general sense is there is a warrant of frustration there. I think with South Sydney as a whole, it's obviously not just Latrell Mitchell's fault. It's the coaching. I'm starting to be of the opinion JD is functionally useless. Jason Demetrio, it's called JD, like, he's my mate. But, yeah, I'm getting to the point Demetrio is pretty much useless. So it'll be interesting to see how these next weeks play out.
It will be. Boys, let's move on to the BE's phenomenal tip of the week.
Hello, boys. It's me again, the Big E. I'm doing my Big E phenomenal tip of the week. I am going to tip the Broncos against the Pandas. That's my first Big E phenomenal tip of the week for the first match. A couple of them, I'm going to tip the Warriors, tip the Roosters, going to tip the Bulldogs for Monique.
Doggies!
And also, and I'm still going to tip the Cowboys. And my bold prediction, I am going to say Nene is going to drink water and Tamalala will get a winning try. Funny Tamahawks will get a winning goal. And also, I am going to say congratulations to Latrell Mitchell, 100 tries. Well done. And also, congratulations to me, the Big E, 8 wives, baby. And also, I'm going to tip the Sharks, going to tip Manly Seagulls and Newcastle Knights. That is my biggie, been on the tip of the week, boys. That is my board position and wild card. That is the biggie. Enjoy the part for tomorrow and have a great night. This is the biggie, baby. What? Biggie out.
Thank you to the Big E, Owen Gibson. And you might well want to write down those tips because, as the Big E mentioned, he got a perfect round last week. So congratulations to him. First blood between the Big E and Friendy has gone to the Big E. Friendy, are you okay?
Just.
Hanging in there. Boys, let's talk about round 3. I'm going to ask for one-sentence predictions about the following game, starting off with the Panthers and the Broncos from BlueBet Stadium on Thursday night. The big news, I suppose, is that there's no James Fisher-Harris for the Panthers. For the Broncos, Payne Haas got ruled out today, and they have no Adam Reynolds, and I believe Ezra Mem is also under a cloud of sorts. So could be an interesting one for the Broncos. Friendy, who's your tip?
I'll be tipping the Panthers for reasons you just mentioned, particularly the cumulonimbus that Ezra Mam is under.
Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to Panthers as well. My one-sentence contribution is that the Broncos refusing to talk about the grand final is completely idiotic.
I agree. Kieran, how do you feel?
When you go to the Broncos, I thought Cleary looked slightly distracted last week. There was a conversion or two that he missed, and I don't know, I'm wondering if he's got Mary Fowler Like, he's trying to concentrate on the game, but he's, yeah, I honestly think that that could be playing into it somewhat. Like, obviously, he's not thinking about it while he's actually playing the game, but I don't know.
I would be. I think there's, holy heck.
Yeah.
Why'd you lose this week, Nathan? Love is nuts.
So he'll have a fair bit of traffic from Reese Walsh and Ezra Mam heading in his direction, I would say, Mr. Cleary, after last week. The next game is the Warriors and Raiders from Apollo Project Stadium. That's in Christchurch. There is still no Chance Nickel Klukstar. Warriors have been very impressive in their two games for two losses, especially the latter game. The Raiders have been quite impressive for their two wins. Chris, who do you like in this one?
I'm going to go the Warriors. I don't know. I don't trust Raiders, and I just think the Warriors are going to win. I don't think they're going to be 0-3, and I don't think the Raiders are going to be 3-0. There's not much to it beyond that, to be honest.
I'm with you. Home ground advantage makes a difference for me. What about you, Friendly?
Yeah, Warriors for me, and I think they'll rack up a big score. And I think the outside backs in particular and halves weak defensively for the Raiders. They haven't been tested much yet, and I think the Warriors will absolutely shred them out wide.
I think the Warriors will... Oh, geez. No, I think the Warriors will win that fairly comfortably, but the Raiders have been decent, but I'll say Warriors.
All right, that's four Warriors. The next game is the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. I'll go to you first, Kieran, on that one. The team news, I suppose, for the Roosters is there's no Luke Keary, and the Rabbitohs have dropped Lachlan Ilias, Miles Stedman legend, and Jack Whiten plays his first game. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, the Roosters. I'll just leave it at that. By plenty.
Whoever I tip here, I'll get it wrong. So I'm going to tip the Chooks. Yeah.
Just got no idea. Coin flip for you?
No, yeah, coin flip. I think Souths, after the back of all this press, they'll come out firing. The Chooks were less impressive last week than they were round one, so they're trending downwards. But I'm going to stick with the Chooks.
I'm going to go the Rabbitohs, partly in hope, so we don't have to hear more incessant Paul Kent, David Ricciardo at all ranting. But in a serious note, I actually think dropping Lachlan Ilias will help. He has been absolutely dog shit. So I'll go South Sydney.
Yeah, I've been a Lachlan Ilias defender more than most, but he has been particularly poor. Last week was terrible. So I tend to agree. I will go for the Roosters, though, for this one. The next game is the Bulldogs and the Titans from Belmore Sports Ground. Get your sleep in at 2 p.m.
Titans for me in a bludger.
Chris, what about you?
I'm going to go to Bulldogs. I just think they are going to win, and the Titans are dog shit. So the Bulldogs have been dog shit as well, but they've been tougher, I think. So I'm going to go to Bulldogs.
At the toss of a coin, I'll just say the Bulldogs.
I'm going to go for the Titans. I refuse to sleep on them. But I do agree with you, Chris. The Bulldogs have been playing tougher. The team that flogged the Titans in round one, the Dragons, are playing against the Cowboys at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. Dragons were horrific last week against the Dolphins, holy heck. And the Cowboys weren't great against the Knights but got the points. Chris, who do you like?
I am begrudgingly going to go the Dragons. I'm going to sense an upset. I just don't think the Cowboys will go 3-0, although they have been relatively impressive. They weren't good last week, but they came back well. I'm going to Dragons with no confidence at all.
What about you, Kieran? You're a Cowboys man, but do you feel confident?
No, I don't feel confident. To me, I think it'll be close. I think the Cowboys will win 1-10, I'll say, but I don't think it'll be a blowout.
I'll go for the Cowboys as well. Friendy, what Dragons are we going to get?
I don't know, shit ones. They're always shit.
So you're going for the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'll be tipping the Cowboys. They're way classier outfit than the Dragons. Fit, fast, strong. Cowboys for mine if they hold the ball.
I really hope you're right. Let's go to the Tigers and the Sharks from Leichhardt Oval. I believe Miles Stedman has tickets to that for some reason. The Tigers have made a couple of changes, which I think are good changes. Caesar into starting lineup, Olam playing as well. The Sharks have been really impressive, though. Friendy, who do you like out of the Tigers and the Sharks?
I'll be tipping the Sharkies here. Again, like the last game we spoke about, a much classier outfit. And, yeah, I think Nico might have a decent night out.
What are you, Chris? I know you're a Tigers man. They weren't great against the Raiders. How are you feeling?
Not great. I'll go to the Sharks as well. Nico Hines, definitely for the 3-point. Nice guy, Dalian Award again. Dalian points again. I think the Tigers side makes more sense this week, but it doesn't mean they'll be any good. So, Sharks.
I'm with you. I think the Tigers are, on paper, a lot better. this week. But yeah, it's, there were some cracks. So I'm going to go for the Sharks as well. What about you, Karen?
Yeah, I'm going to go the Sharks. I think, yeah, they started patiently and then just got better and better as the game went on last week. And I think that's a good sort of game plan to try and stick to, I guess. Start slow and finish fast.
Yeah, they played tough both weeks. They started slow and they built into it. So good signs for the Sharks. The next game is the Eels and Sea Eagles from CommBank Stadium. Chris, who do you like in this one?
This is a tough one. I reckon there's going to be game of the round this one. I'm going to go Parramatta with no real confidence, mostly because I was higher on them at the start of the year, but mainly have been begrudgingly good. Even Luke Brooks, who's been okay, not great, just FYI, he's been solid, but not great.
He's been fine, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I'll go Parramatta, but with no real confidence, but I think this would be a cracker.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm also going to go for Parramatta. I'm excited to see Blaise Talangi play. He's making his debut in the centres there, plays fullback in reserve grade. What do you think, Friendy?
I'll be tipping Manly here, but as we said, it could go either way. Be game of the round for sure, and I'm looking forward to watching it on Sunday, Arvo.
Yes, a perfect Sunday afternoon treat. What about you, Kieran? Who do you like?
I think the Sea Eagles have got their game figured out a bit more at this stage. I'll go the Sea Eagles.
Wonderful. And the last game on Sunday evening is the Knights and the Storm. The good news for the Knights, Friendy, is there's still no Cameron Munster. There's no Jerome Hughes. He got suspended for making contact with a referee, which is hilarious. There's no Christian Welch. There is no Nelson Asofa Solomona. The Knights are 0-2. Storm are 2-2. Friendy, can they do it?
Yeah, they can. I think they'll win this week. At home, no recognised halves. Pezzett's been playing all right. But, yeah, Munster, Hughes, Nelson Asofa Solomona out. Surely this is the night. Go the Knights.
I'm with you. I think the Knights will win. What about you, Chris?
Either Friend's going to get a full round and I'll get zero the other way around. But I'm going to go. I'm going to Storm. I don't like the halves change. I think they should have dropped Tyson Gamble. I think he's crap. Just that's my opinion anyway. Yeah, he's passionate, but he sucks.
All right, Willie Mason over there. Fucking levels.
Levels Network, friend of the show. sorry, Tyson, Tigers legend. Yeah, but I just make it like, I feel like the halves are comparable, right? Pezzett, Gamble, Cogger, Wichard, I don't know. I'll go to Storm. I'll probably get zero for me this week.
And what about you, Kieran? Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm not going to overthink any of my, I'll say the Storm.
Boys, thank you very, very much for your efforts. But as we go, I'll ask for a bold prediction. So, Friendy, thanks for joining me. What's your bold prediction this week?
Warriors by 20 or more, mate.
Ooh, tasty. I like that. Chris, thank you very much for your time. What's your bold prediction this week?
In a Bulldogs win, there'll be less than 24 points scored total in the game. So it might be like 12-10 or something.
Interesting. And Kieran Gibson, lovely to have you back. What's your bold prediction this week?
I'll say that neither the Roosters or Rabbitohs will score more than 16 points and the game will have less than, I'll say, 26 points.
Ah, very interesting.
With the Roosters win.
Okay. A couple of defensive slogs there. The Warriors to run away with one. Thank you to the Big E for his contribution as well. My bold prediction, I've got a feeling the Broncos' right edge is going to come under some scrutiny. So I think Taylor May is going to score 2 tries. Thank you very much to everyone, and thank you to all the listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe. Tell a friend, if they love the rugby league, to come and listen to Above the Horizontal and subscribe as well so they can go Above the Horizontal next week. But until then. Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Steppen, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.